Have you been wondering how to affordably fix that crack in your wall or any plaster repairs? Well, Leo is your man. Recently relocated to the Cleveland area from Rhode Island, Leo is an expert in this field with over 30 years' experience, especially on those difficult ceiling or wall textures. Call Leo at 401-651-5757 and be sure to save his number. Once again, that's 401-651-5757.
Hello, Mishpacha, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my very special soulmate and ongoing student of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and we pray that you, too, are ongoing students of His Word. Thank you for tuning in today, and we want to remind you that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net. Now let us praise the Lord.
We do praise you, O Lord, and highly esteem your holy name, being very grateful for our many blessings. We lift up our president to you, who remains under siege from his enemies. May he be a continued vessel for your will. We covet your presence in our lives and pray that our loved ones will share in the joy of entering your coming kingdom. We pray for the victims in Hawaii and now Guatemala and all those suffering afflictions that are called by your name. We pray this in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Amen. So I understand that the North Korean summit's back on for June 12th?
It is for sure, and this is the first time Kim Jong-un has been this far away from home.
Could this be while the cat's away, the mice will play scenario?
Well, it is being reported that three of his top military brass have been replaced with those he feels he can better trust to not exercise a coup while he's gone. But it is a shakeup that is widely interpreted as designed to remove possible opponents to coming changes in their nuclear policy following the summit, as well as giving Kim and his ruling party tighter control over the military.
The Korean People's Army.
That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. What's happening in Israel?
Well, the Gaza Strip has been headlining all Israeli newspapers lately, and for good reason. As most of us know, violent demonstrations have been going on since, well, the end of April, and they're still continuing today. Remember, they started out flying kites that carried burning rags on the tails over the Gaza border into Israeli wheat fields that were growing in neighboring Kibbutzim, it's called, totally destroying many hundreds of acres. Now, instead of kites, the Gazan arsonists started launching helium-filled balloons carrying burning charcoal capable of flying several miles into Israel. Residents are helping the many firefighters put out the flames, and military planners are implementing new measures to combat the assaults.
As we knew they would.
Mm-hmm. As well, up in the north, the Israeli Defense Force has been massing large-scale forces along its northern borders with Syria and Lebanon, and many Israeli warplanes have been seen cruising overhead. Other sources in Syria claim to have witnessed Israeli tanks as well, strung along the Golan border since some undercover Iranian troops have been exposed.
Yeah, I heard they were disguised in Syrian uniforms.
Yes. So, they went unnoticed for a while. Iran really desires the Golan Heights to get closer to Israel and is using Syria as their cover to achieve that. But this is amazing. Russia has now told Israel to feel free to exercise what they deem necessary to squelch Iran's infiltration.
Without Russia's interference?
Yes. Hmm. And yesterday, the Iranian media accused Russia of betrayal.
Netanyahu would do it anyway.
Well, he would. And It's interesting that Netanyahu gets bad press over there, just like Trump gets over here, no matter what either one does. In fact, I have a quote from Netanyahu that I thought I'd share with everyone because it fits our president as well. He said, if I would emulate Jesus and walk on water, the media would the next day say in a big headline, Netanyahu can't swim.
Yep.
And then there's President Trump's tweets, who does fuel the liberal flames. And as an example, you probably already heard this over the weekend, he tweeted, well, I have absolute right to pardon myself, but would I do that when I have done nothing wrong? And then his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says the president could go out and shoot Mr. Comey and could not be indicted.
Well, you know, impeachment's a different story.
Yes. And we don't know all the legal repercussions and all that stuff, but let's just pray that they stop talking nonsense like that, even if it is so.
I absolutely agree. You know, cut out the tweets. It just gives the left more to talk about.
I know it does, and they do. Also, President Trump will be revealing his Israeli peace plan at the end of this month to include, at least right now, the dividing of Jerusalem.
Well, you know, if all the players accept this, look out. Joel 3 will soon begin.
You think? That's what it says in the Bible. And this piece of news fits right into the end time puzzle. Pope Francis is planning to visit Geneva, Switzerland on the summer solstice of June 21st to secure the reunification of the World Council of Churches, which is Protestantism, at least mainline, with the Catholic Church, annulling the 500-year Reformation. Now, they have been corresponding for quite a few years to make this happen, and now this is the time.
This is the one world religion.
Yep, another fitting piece. Listen to Pope Francis' words in his recent correspondence. He said, the great joy of discovering that after 500 years of shared history, in part quite painful, that's to say the least. Anyway, he goes on to say, we are entering a new period of communion, for I am convinced that the conflict that exploded in the 16th century is destined to end, and that the reasons for their reciprocal diffidence will mostly disappear. Close quotes. And there has been a leaked report that after the regular meet and greet, that at midnight, again, this is on the solstice, a heavily guarded secret ceremony ritual will be held in the Catholic Basilica Notre Dame in Geneva. Only the top World Council church leaders and the Pope will attend. A whistleblower is saying that it will be a pact sealed in blood. Now, look up the information on the summer solstice when the sun reaches its northernmost point, and you'll see that it's one of the Illuminatus' human sacrifice nights.
So, why pick this day to reunite religions?
One has to be curious, and I think that's all we should say right now, but just please do your own research.
Okay, that was breathtaking. Any good news?
Yes. Remember the baker who refused to make that custom cake for the homosexual couple getting married? That was almost 5 years ago. But it finally was heard by the Supreme Court, and they voted 7-2 in favor of his rights to not have to accommodate when it goes against one's religious beliefs. Now, the baker would sell any cake, but just would not customize it with two men getting married on top of the cake. It was something like that. But it's not final yet, because there is a florist as well going to take her case to the Supreme Court. And we'll see how that comes out.
Well, the sodomites are really fighting back.
They are. They're not stopping. So let's just pray for another godly outcome.
Okay. All right. We do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net. Or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we will call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. and to help us stay on the air. Your love offerings are very much needed and certainly appreciated. And we'll be sure to include you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your added learning.
All right. Today, we want to look at a few scriptures that some false teachers are using to bring unnecessary spiritual burdens upon the body of Christ. Because, as we often say,
you really need to look up the word.
Yes, to get the true meaning of certain scriptures that any teacher might use, especially, though, when it infers work on our part to keep our salvation.
Like those they used to make you feel undeserving to go in the rapture.
Exactly. You know, you are either saved or you are not saved. There is no in between, and nothing beyond real belief is necessary.
How does one know for sure if they are saved?
Well, the fruits of a true heart salvation would accompany a passionate desire to know him more.
By spending quality time in his word.
That would and does result in the shedding of the practicing of those addicting sins that God abhors. More light, less sin. However, we will never be sinless, but our debt to sin has been erased totally. Therefore, we do not have to pay for any of our sins ourselves, as in purgatory, which I was told as a child.
There is no purgatory.
Bible says absent from the body is present with the Lord for all believers.
Amen to that.
So, let's talk to you true believers who are being strapped with the idea that you're just not good enough. And at times, you even question your salvation, which also means you wonder if you will go in the resurrection or rapture if it should happen in your lifetime, thinking you just don't qualify. And then, to add to your doubts, you might listen to some well-known, famous teacher confirming that deception by misinterpreting the word. So, we must address that through the truth of God's word, hermeneutically.
Of course. Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 21.
This scripture is one we speak on often, but really needs to be repeated. So, dear, could you read verse 36, but read it from the original Greek?
Okay. Be watchful and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
So, again, that's the original Greek, but some English versions add the word always after the word pray, which changes the real meaning by making one think it has to be ongoing, when in fact it's only once.
Yeah, it's at the time of your rebirth.
Yes. Now, it is a pleading prayer at that time, but not an ongoing one. Mm-hmm. To pray always that you can escape? Mm-mm. If you have said the salvation prayer, you will escape the wrath of God, as so many other scriptures declare as well.
All listed on our webpage, by the way.
Yes, they are.
Another one, please.
Yes, I have another one. Have you heard of the scripture that says, "Be holy, for I am holy"?
Yeah, that's a rough one for sure. For how can anyone be as holy as God?
Right, you can't.
Right.
In fact, that scripture isn't even in the New Testament, except for once when Peter is quoting from the Old Testament.
Leviticus 11, I believe.
Yep. Actually, could you read verse 44?
I will do it. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy.
Okay. So the word be is an effect of knowing God, not a work. For even in the Old Testament, you were not sanctified by works, but from faith.
Hebrews 11.
That's right. The required works were to recognize their need for a Savior. That's why.
Right.
Anyhow, the original interlinear says, "You are holy because I am holy." In other words, they became holy when turning to righteousness and faith, And especially now in the new covenant, because Jesus lives inside of us, of course, as 1 Peter infers, we should try to live holy lives, but we can never be as holy as Jesus. That would be sinless. And we, again, surely are not that.
Not till we get our new bodies.
Amen. So when Peter says, "Be holy for I am holy," he is quoting Leviticus, and the translation should be as I just said. But just to make it more clear, let me read to you what the highly respected Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest says about 1 Peter 1:16. He said the verb is in the perfect tense in the Greek, which speaks of a past completed action having present results. In other words, we are holy or have become holy because He is holy.
That should bring us all an ease of conscience.
Well, it does for me.
Mm-hmm.
Paul also infers in Galatians that truth, however, doesn't give us license to be unholy, but rather a satisfaction when trying, ultimately experiencing a deeper realization of the unending mercy of God, which in and of itself is amazing and should give us all an even greater passion to please Him by knowing Him more. And again, as I have taught often, there is only one way to know Jesus more, through His Word, because He is the Word. Okay, another point I must bring to the light is that there has been a few teaching that there are qualifications besides salvation to go in the rapture, and they justify that by using the quality spoken of by Jesus to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Granted, each letter, Jesus does end each letter in that we must be an overcomer. So they are claiming that the different qualities listed in each of the letters, these false teachers, is how the bride can be an overcomer in order to eat from the tree of life, etc. This is blatantly a false teaching and is actually adding qualifications to be saved. Yes, each church has certain good qualities that Jesus commends them for, but just as we each have different qualities that we excel in personally, we are all not a hand or a foot, and therefore we should not be expected to excel in each other's qualities. That is absurd, and yet these false teachers are saying exactly that in order to be in the rapture. Do not adhere to this doctrine. It is a total distortion of God's word and burdens the body of Christ to be more than they are able, and thereby experiencing feelings of condemnation. Like God says in Romans 8:11, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Zip. Zero. All true believers will go in the rapture without meeting any other qualifications listed in the seven church letters, which were their qualities, but in no way a requirement for going in the rapture. And one particular ministry even has a chart and lists who is an overcomer and who is not, in that we must be victorious, a profitable servant, be ready, be watching, and praying with spotless garments, while never using the Bible's interpretation of who is an overcomer, just his own reasoning. Remember, scriptures interpret scripture, and its interpretation of an overcomer is actually in 1 John 5:4-5, which reads, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And that's it. Again, saints, in God's eyes, we are all overcomers because of His Son. And we are holy because we are saved. And we are spotless, blameless, and victorious because we are saved. But again, let's look at another scripture for more proper hermeneutics. Ephesians 5:25-27. says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Hello? Stop adding conditions to your salvation or for going in the rapture, for there are none. If you are a true believer, that's it. And all you do after that is for your future rewards in heaven. And we should all desire a few of those, and it pleases him to give us crowns in heaven. And do you remember what the crown of righteousness is for, according to 2 Timothy 4:8? It's for anxiously loving the thought of his return. Another sure sign you are saved. We even have scripture on being victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus. So stand up and use the power given to you, his bride. For we are ready, and we are praying, and most of us are watching. But that is still not a requirement for the rapture, only your salvation. Please, saints, don't take on the burdens of having to try to make yourself worthy, because you'll never make it in your flesh. For we are worthy, because he is worthy. So, let me summarize. Jesus spoke to each of the churches in love and told them their good qualities, and also their not-so-good qualities, but ended each letter with, just be an overcomer, and you will drink from the tree of life, and from the manna of heaven, and all the others. And he even made sure that his word gives us proper definition of what an overcomer is. Scripture interprets other scriptures. Any believer, as we just read in 1 John 5 and also in 1 John 2:13. Well, let me read that. I have a minute. It says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. That's it. You are an overcomer because you know the Lord. And 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And he's speaking of the Antichrist spirit in the previous verse. He goes on to say, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Oh, I hope you get a hold of this. God is so merciful. So let me ask you, are you listening today, and are you an overcomer? Are you born again? John 3:3 says you must be born again. Is Jesus Lord over your life? And my favorite scripture, Luke 21, says you can escape the soon coming judgment with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner. Repent and invite him into your spirit and accept his redemption. Give him dominance over your life instead of the God of the world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. And there's just no in between. You're either saved or you're not. Those, by the way, who are lukewarm, get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's word. You need it for discernment. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, speaking of Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in all ways of your life. So till next time, love your children, love your friends, love your family, and pray. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.